This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a rambunctious Monday, and we're going to have a blast in our final hour. We're going to touch on being proud to be an American, traveling when you don't feel clean. We're going to talk about Iran, apparently isn't done with the whole thing, human slavery, emails, all that, and so much more still to come in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I can't let this go. So I had Jewish producer Chris compile a little list for me. This is a brief list. But remember the talk? We had a talk one time about being a politician. And remember, I've encouraged you, please run for office. We need normal people to run for office. We need you somewhere. You are qualified. The morons who are in there are the ones that aren't qualified. But I've also warned you that you need to get out at some point. Because if you don't get out, if you spend too long as a politician, you will become a soulless, programmable robot that is just a walking talking point, to where if I could hook you up to a lie detector test, you don't even know what you believe anymore. You're just so used to doing and saying whatever it is you're supposed to say in any certain situation. So whenever an issue comes up, you just go to your memory bank of what are my programmable talking points of this one, and beep, and you press that one and they just come out of you. And one thing that I've always found hilarious is when politicians retire, and this is most often when they're going to lose re-election or have lost re-election, because these people can never let go of power. It's the only thing they can do in their lives that gives them any meaning, because they're a bunch of soulless monsters. They all give some version of the same statement. So Jewish producer Chris printed out a few of these for me. Let me know if you notice any similarities. This is from Don Bacon. He announced actually today, useless congressman from Nebraska, that he's retiring. Here's his statement. After consultation with my family and much prayer, I've decided not to seek re-election. After 3 decades in the Air Force and now going on 1 decade in Congress, I look forward to coming home in the evenings and being with my wife and seeing more of our adult children and 8 grandchildren who all live near my home. Okay. Let's go to Tom Tillis. He announced it yesterday. As my colleagues have noticed over the last year, and at times even joked about, I haven't exactly been excited about running for another term. That is true, since the choice is between spending another 6 years navigating the political theater and partisan gridlock in Washington, or spending that time with the love of my life, Susan, our 2 children, and 3 beautiful grandchildren, and the rest of our extended family back home. Oh, I hope you didn't think this was some kind of a new phenomenon. Here's Paul Ryan, 2018. It's almost hard to believe, but I've been a member of Congress for almost 2 decades. This is my 20th year in Congress. My kids weren't even born when I was first elected. Oldest was 13 years old when I became Speaker. Now all 3 of our kids are teenagers. One thing I learned about teenagers is their idea of an ideal weekend is not necessarily to spend all their time with their parents. What I realize is I am here for 1 more term. My kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad. I just can't let that happen. Oh, okay. Rob Portman, 2023. It's a tough time to be in public service. Yes, Rob, we all feel bad for you. I want to spend more time with my family, who've been supportive and they've made so many sacrifices. Will Hurd, 2019. I've made the decision not to seek re-election for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas to pursue opportunities outside the halls of Congress to solve problems at the nexus between technology and national security. I want to spend more time with my family. One more. I swear this is the last one, because I could do this for the rest of the show. This is Fred Upton, one of the guys who voted to impeach Trump. Even the best stories have a last chapter, and this is it for me. Someone asked my wife what would be next, the next chapter, and she said they lived happily ever after. And indeed we will. You know, I'm sure some of these guys actually do get along with their families and love their wives or whatnot. I'm sure some of them do, but come on now. We all know this is the thing. When you're a politician for too long, you don't ever get to have a genuine moment, and you don't ever get to step up to the microphone and say, hey, look, Trump endorsed. He was going to come out against me in the next primary, and I just don't think I can win. I would love to stay in D.C. and bloodsuck money off the taxpayer for another 6 years and hand out money to a bunch of special interests who will then go hire my second cousin and give me some kickbacks. That's really the only life I've ever known, and it's the only life I've ever wanted. I want to be a U.S. senator so I don't have to make reservations at a steakhouse. But now, since it looks like I did one or two unpopular things that I can't cover up, now I'm going to get stuck back at home with my wife. And I could just hear her nagging already. In fact, I'll probably run off with the secretary at some point in time. But for now, I know I can't be here anymore, so I'm going to leave. Nobody wants to say that. And all of them, somebody said it, and I wish I could remember who said it, because I think it was a comment online, and it was so unbelievably true. He said, they have to tell one more lie on the way out the door. They can't help themselves. There's just one more programmable robot response they have to give. Can we please stop with the spend more time with my family statements? Come on now. All right. Now, here's a little thing before we get to emails. Just reinforces something that we've talked about many times before. The Republican Party will set them aside for the moment. The Democrat Party is the anti-American party now. Not un-American, anti-American. Open hatred of the United States of America is how you get elected as a Democrat, and working every day to destroy America is how you stay elected as a Democrat. Here's the newest poll out from Gallup. How proud are you to be an American? Republicans? 92%. Not bad, huh? Democrats? 36%. If you want to guarantee someone will turn out to be a Democrat, you don't have to teach them taxes or abortion or border policy or anything, really. You teach them to hate the United States of America. They will vote Democrat their entire lives. That is the vehicle for people who hate the country. If you want to raise somebody who votes Republican, votes on the right, you don't have to teach them, again, taxes, border, abortion. Teach them that they're blessed to be here. Teach them what a wonderful country we live in, and that person will vote Republican the rest of their lives. That is a horrible state of affairs, I should be clear. I don't want two of the same party. I think that's crazy, but to have one party that loves the country and the other one hates it, it's very hard to maintain a country for an extended period of time when half the country hates the country. But anybody who has ever knocked on doors in a political campaign will tell you what I've told you many times before. If you see an American flag waving at that house, if there's an American flag bumper sticker on the car, they may not be Republicans. They may be independent. They may be libertarian or nationalist or whatever, but they're not Democrats. Democrats had to be shamed into flying American flags at their own convention. Barack Obama caught on camera his wife mouthing to him, all this for a darn flag. To be a Democrat in the year 2025 is to hate your country. Terrible people. All right. Now, before we get to them using our values against us, I am a touch behind on the emails, and I want to get to a bunch of those, and I want to remind you, in fact, somebody is angry at their senators, I want to remind you that you can email the show. your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. So this lady says, Jesse, I love your show. Been listening since you started on KTOK. Oh, that's a great station, by the way. I heard you talking about Oklahoma senators, James Lankford, so on and so forth. What do we do? I'm very frustrated. How do we get these people out? It's very frustrating. I can't stand these weak Republicans. I just want to touch on this really quickly before we go to break. We are getting them out. Like we said at the beginning of the show, we are. Your specific senator, your specific congressman, maybe not. Not yet. But we are winning this fight. The fight to remake the GOP into being something anti-communist is a fight we are currently winning. All right? All right. Emails. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Monday. And don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We'll get to slavery and humanity. Oh, that's always a good time. Oh, wait a minute, that's not a good time. But the talk, whatever. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's do some emails. Jesse. Hello, Mr. Jesse, this guy says. I love your show, and I listen to it when I can. I'm 10, and I live in Florida and love fishing. Thank you for making car rides not boring anymore. I hope you keep making awesome podcasts. I hope I do too, buddy. And by the way, buddy, I've got a kamikaze history podcast coming. I don't know when, probably not this week. Maybe next week, I don't know, but you asked for it. I left it up to you. Kamikazes is what's coming next. This will really center probably mostly around the Battle of Okinawa, but we're going to focus on the kamikaze, the mission, the why, the casualties, the everything else. It's a horrible, fascinating story. And all right, I'm going to do something that I have not done before, really not in this way. I haven't asked this question open-ended before, but if you have something you want to hear me talk about, you can email a suggestion in. And if there are enough of them in that thing, or maybe it's just some, maybe it's only one, but it sparks my interest, I'll do it. Right? We'll do it. I have a bunch on my mind. I have a big backlog on them, but maybe I'll just switch. Maybe I'll put yours first. But you're welcome to email it in. Jesse, what would be your thought on the possibility of terrorists already in our country carrying small suitcase or backpack nukes ready to use them against the homeland as a result of the Ayatollah wanting retribution? All right. Well, that pairs well with this story from today about the Ayatollah issuing a fatwa to kill Donald Trump and Netanyahu, by the way. All right. So, a couple of things. Remember we said Donald Trump is out there brokering peace deals, and that's a good thing. He obviously should win a peace prize. He just freaking did it again in the Congo, Rwanda. He just did it again.
This is a tremendous breakthrough. In a few short months, we've now achieved peace between India and Pakistan, Israel and Iran, and the DRC and Rwanda.
That's awesome. We had this talk when he got that ceasefire done with Israel and Iran. Remember, he did a ceasefire, and then they proceeded to shoot all the rockets and drop all the bombs on each other they possibly could over the next 6 hours till it went into effect. You can get a pause on hostilities. There's no question. And that's good. We don't want people dying. But there are some things that are going to have to be worked out. And when I say worked out, they're going to have to be fought about. I'll get to the suitcase nukes and stuff like that in a moment. But, you know, my mom has dogs, a couple dogs. And, you know, we have Fred. And my mom was coming down for a visit. And, you know, we lost my dad. And we're just caring for her as much as we can. And wanted her to stay with us so we could look after her. And Ob was worried about the dogs because, you know, dogs, they'll have to work it out. Sometimes dogs will fight, and that's something that Ob obviously doesn't like. Who does like it? But I told her, you know, baby, they're going to have to work it out. You know, she was talking about we should keep them separate. Let's keep one in this room. And we just talked about it. And I just said, look, they might have to fight it out. They probably will have to fight it out if there's a problem. But once they fight it out, they'll work it out. Iran has wanted to kill every single Jew on the planet for as long as I've been alive. They've been threatening to wipe the entire nation of Israel off the map for as long as I've been alive. Yes, between Israel and us, we just gut punch them in a way that has them rolling around on the ground, completely incapacitated and trying to catch their breath. And so in this moment, we were able to achieve a ceasefire. But just like I said after they did it, let's slow down on the, you know, peace in the Middle East talk. Hearts and minds have not changed. And they're very aware of that in Israel as well. Look, Israel, same thing. Why, after the ceasefire, did Trump get super mad at Netanyahu? Because Netanyahu went and dropped everything he had on Iran. Why? Well, Israel's about tired of being threatened over all this time, too. And they intend to push this thing, the pedal, all the way down to the floor for as long as they possibly can. What we have now should be celebrated. I'm not saying otherwise. We should be happy. Let's celebrate a temporary pause in the hostilities as long as we acknowledge it's a temporary pause in the hostilities. We don't have some kind of lasting peace deal at all. That's just not, it's just not in the cards. All right. As for the suitcase nukes or something like that, I choose not to think about that stuff. Why? There's nothing we can do about it. I've been to Times Square a million times. Maybe I'll go again this year. Is there someone there with a bomb in his backpack? Could be. What am I going to do? Stay home, hide under my bed? I'm not living my life like that. All right. Let's talk about them using our values against us. In the manipulation of the church. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Just another example of two things. Really, they kind of merge into each other. But first, the communist does not share your values. You must get that. They do not share your value system at all. It's like they're a completely different species. Because they don't recognize your morality at all, they have a completely different morality, you have to immediately put your defenses up when they attempt to use your morality against you, to use your values against you. And the most common way they do this by a mile is they will quote the Bible to you. Quote the Bible to you all the time. And this is, I'm going to make sure I'm giving them credit, because they do deserve credit for this. It's been extremely effective. This way of thinking has infected church after church after church after church, seminary after seminary. Large corporate churches have been completely broken down and destroyed because the communist understood he can't just declare open war on the church in the United States of America. The church was so central to the foundation of this country that would only get him ostracized. It's much, much, much more effective to infiltrate the church, quote scripture to people who want to do the right thing, and thus breaking down their defenses and allowing your communist revolution to move forward. And there is no greater example of this in the United States of America than the pathetic mega churches in the largely white suburban areas, combined with the black churches in the black areas. No, it's not universal, so don't send me an email about your church. I get that. But it, you see it all the time. You walk into one, I told you about losing my church. White pastor up there talking about his white privilege after George Floyd died. Totally nice guy. Got eaten alive. Eaten alive. The communists brought him in, scolded him for his skin color, and he just thought he was being a good shepherd, coming and lecturing me about my whiteness. No thanks. Black churches happens all the time. They have found over the years they can merge Democrat politics from the pulpit, merge it, twist it with the Bible, and teach you that Jesus wants to destroy your country, wants you to allow them to destroy your country. And allow me to introduce you to one of these pastors who is now a senator from the state of Georgia, Senator Warnock.
Maybe because I was here yesterday and 8 years ago for a similar fight with faith leaders, maybe because I'm a preacher and it's Sunday, I have especially been thinking about those of us who are people of faith. People whose lives are informed by scripture, people of the book.
Just a heads up. This is the setup. He knows what he's doing. He's a professional at this. You, reader of the Bible, Christian, if that's you, you just sat up in your chair. He just addressed you. Okay, all right, people of faith, I'm ready. Teach me, pastor.
And maybe those of us who have different politics but read from the same book ought to spend some time together reading the book. Because I do sometimes wonder, and I say this with all humility, none of us owns the truth. But if I'm honest, there are days when I have to ask people of my faith tradition as a Christian, are we reading the same book?
Oh, yes. You see, don't you know that Jesus wants your country overrun by people from Somalia? It's right there. It's right there in, hold on, let me look. Oh, yeah, Second Opinions. Yep, it's right there. It's been done to great effect in this country. You know, I've said repeatedly that the two things the communists took over that aided his revolution the most were the education system and corporate America. But I might be wrong. Those are the things he has used for offense. He educates your children to hate the country. They go on to be Democrats and vote to burn it down. He infiltrates corporate America. Soon Nike's running ads on why you should be gay during the Super Bowl. But defense, weakening his opponent, maybe the most effective thing the communist has done is worm his way into the churches, the black ones and the white ones, quoting scripture just like the devil did to Jesus over and over and over again. See, it's right there in the Bible. Just throw yourself off the cliff. The angels will catch it. Says it right here in the scripture. Remember Letitia James? It's one of my favorite examples. Soon as she got busted committing a felony, lying on a mortgage application is a big, big, big deal. What did she do? She went running right to the cameras. I'm covered by the blood. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Makes me freaking sick. And it has been remarkably effective. Remarkably effective. We allowed these demons to break us down, and we shouldn't. All right. Let's switch gears. Passenger flagged by TSA after, quote, swamp crotch sets off the alarm, and it's happening to others. Apparently, the passenger had an exceptional amount of sweat in their pants, and it flagged for TSA. I only brought this up not because of the horrible, horrible headline. I really hope I never have to use the term swamp crotch ever again. I brought this up because here's a little travel tidbit from Jesse that a lot of people do not get. My father actually never got it. When you are going on a road trip or even going to the airport, especially if you're unfortunate enough to live in Texas during the summertime, you get everything, absolutely everything loaded first into the car the last thing you do before you leave the house is take a shower. People make this mistake time and time and time again. They wake up out of habit and take a shower. You brush your teeth, go pee, take a shower. Everyone has the same morning routine. Go pee, brush your teeth, take a shower. Not on travel day. Because the worst thing that can happen to you is to get sweaty and sticky before you load your wife's 75-pound bags into the back of the car, and then you're sweaty, and then the sweat will dry, and then you're sticky, and then you're sticky on a plane, and you smell. You can smell yourself. You're oily. You're miserable. Allow this one little travel tip from Jesse to change your life. Yes, I know I referred to myself in the third person. I think I'm going to be doing that a lot more now. It just seems more me. Allow Jesse to tell you this. The last thing I do, I wake up, I've got my sweats on. I'm loading bags into the car, letting the dog out. I do every single thing I can possibly do. The very last thing is I get in the shower and put my clothes on. Chris said I've put way too much thought into this. That's such a young man thing to say, Chris. You know why I've put thought into this, Chris? Because I've lived on the other side of it, my friend. I have been there, starting out the 8-hour road trip we have that day, covered in sweat. I'm then sticky. My boxers are sticking to my butt all day long. My shirt, I can smell myself. I've been there sitting on the plane, having sweated to load all the bags in. Now on top of the normal travel stress, oh no, the pilot's a woman, we're all going to die, everything else that goes through your mind. And I've been sweaty during it, and I've discovered a better way and done it a better way. The last thing I do is shower. Now I'm a travel professional. Maybe instead of insulting me, Chris, you should mimic me. Make your life better. I know how much you idolize me, and that's why you should also be taking your male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. Do you want to have the clarity of mind that teaches you to shower last? Everybody wants that. I'm sure as soon as I said it, you're thinking, wow, this guy's a genius. How'd he come up with that? Well, that's because my T levels are through the roof. You know you need testosterone to think. It's for logical thinking. Illogical people, they shower first and then get sweaty. Once you get your T levels up, you'll shower last. You want to do that naturally with natural herbal supplements? You really should. That's what Chalk's here for. Huge summer savings sale going on right now at Chalk. Whatever you're looking for improvement on in your life, Chalk has natural herbal supplements that will bring you there. The anti-communists at Chalk are ready. They're standing by. The dimes are waiting by the phone. Call them. Text them. 50-CHOQ-3000. 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Okay, I'm going to play this and we're going to move off it. But just remember that human nature doesn't really change. Our technology changes. You know, nations rise and fall and all that stuff. But human beings don't really change. And this includes the horrible institution of slavery, which I will never understand. I will never understand how, no matter your belief system, how there are always so many people on the planet who think owning another human being is okay. It's just so obviously not okay, but it's something that's always been with us. No matter your skin color or your religion, what country your people came from, here's something that's almost a guarantee. People in your lineage have not only been slaves, they've been slave owners. It's so common. And I'll never understand how people think that that is an acceptable thing to do to other human beings. And it goes on now. It's just quieter all around us. I'll be very, very vague, but I have some contacts in the international, I'll call it law enforcement realm. I'll just put it that way. And we talk and catch up on life and what's going on. And I am floored at how prolific human trafficking is. Gigantic human trafficking networks are going on all around us. And when you say, you know, there's human trafficking, it's perfectly natural to think, well, yeah, I'm sure in somewhere in the Middle East, of course, in Africa, I could see those dirty Russians doing that, but it's everywhere. It's all around us. Did you hear this story?
Customs and Border Protection providing us new information. Within the past 90 minutes or so, the agency also posted this new video of an arrest. CBP says that they executed a federal search warrant today targeting a human smuggling hub tied to national security threats. Two people were arrested. Seven other Iranian nationals were taken into custody earlier this week at the same address. Some of those people were on the FBI terror watch list, we've learned. CBP says the smuggling network has trafficked people from adversarial regimes, including Iran, posing direct risk to U.S. national security.
All around us. Children, women, organs. Isn't that kind of weird and gross? Like horror movie kind of weird and gross? Don't you find that weird and gross that organs are such a big thing? They're a huge deal. I don't get it. I guess in a way I'm glad I don't get it, but man, that's just disgusting. It's awful. It's awful. Anyway, I want to talk to you really quickly before I do some emails. Burying your dog is awful, isn't it? That is a day. It's a day you dread when you get a dog. If you've had dogs, I've had dogs my whole life. When you have dogs and you've done it enough times and they start to get up there, you think to yourself, man, I don't know what I'm going to do when he's gone. I don't know what I'm going to do when she's gone. That's going to be a bad day. Well, we can't keep them alive forever, but we can keep them alive longer if we start giving them actual nutrition. But we don't have to lose our dogs at 10 years old. We can start sprinkling rough greens on their food and keep them for longer. Don't you want that? Keep them away from the vet. Not all these health problems all the time. Cancer and joints. And when your dog finally gets vitamins and minerals and probiotics, and your dog can live longer and live healthier, live better. Why don't you try it? And they have it for your cat, too, if you want it. Roughgreens.com/Jesse, or you can call 833-33-MY-DOG. Let's push that terrible day off as long as we possibly can. 833-33-MY-DOG. All right, enough heavy stuff. This is a great story.
One driver in particular explained that truck driving to him is more than just a job, but rather a way of life he's always enjoyed. But he now understands the urgent need for him to learn English if he is to continue in this line of work.
No, this is a long time ago. Is that I needed to speak in English, but and today is more necessary.
They're complaining. There's a bunch of people complaining because Trump signed an executive order that truck drivers have to learn English. And this stuff is, one, it's wonderful, it's necessary, but two, man, the mentality that's out there now, the mentality that has been put out there for years and years and years, that everybody should just be able to come here. And you don't need to assimilate at all. No need. You don't have to learn the language. No, not at all. We certainly don't want to be rude. No need to learn the language. Oh, it's Somali Independence Day? Up, oh, gather around.
Somalia Harulato! Somalia Harulato! Somalia Harulato! Somalia Igea!
Yeah. The mentality, not just local mentality, mainly fostered by Democrats, but some Republicans, but the mentality that has gone around the world. It started here and it's spread around the world. This sense of entitlement that everybody should just be able to come to America. After all, our borders don't mean anything. our sovereignty doesn't mean anything. The birthright for your children doesn't mean anything. This country's just for, well, for anybody who wants to come in and tear it up. It's really beyond belief how many of those trucks out on the highway are driven by somebody who can't read, speak, or understand English. That is dangerous. And it's freaking terrible. I can't believe we live in that system.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Senate GOP puts $1.6 trillion in spending on the chopping block. Yeah, the big, beautiful bill is big and horrible. And they've been voting on it, honestly, during the show. They've been doing votes on what's in it, what's not in it. We don't have one yet. And believe me, that's a good thing. And the more we raise our voices, the better the bill gets. So keep raising your voices about the ugly things in it. Keep emailing your congressman and your senator. Pentagon's power play to build a meaner, leaner Air Force shakes Washington, D.C. They're removing the A-10 Warthog, that amazing, amazing plane that has saved countless lives. And that kind of bums me out. Canada rescinds digital services tax after Trump halts trade talks. These countries continue to do this. They continue to say, well, fine, America's going to pay a big fat tax. Screw that. We're super tough. And then Trump goes out and slaps them around and threatens them with something that would destroy them. Canada, I'm sorry. You don't have the power to threaten us with anything that we can't threaten you with 10 times more. So just stop doing it. Let's work out a trade deal and stop doing it. Stop attempting this. We don't have to do this routine. All right. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.